Welcome back to Words Accompanied by the Spirit. This is episode 289, entitled Blessings and Curses Through Generations. I sit here in a bent and broken posture, knowing how easy it is to be counted among the ones that fall away. So take heed and know that He is God. I call in the name of the Lord God who created the heavens and the earth to know and honor the importance of the blessing. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And they shall put My name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 to 27. I am here to tell you that the enemy is working insidiously among those of us who know God and who therefore must not only be wiser, but increasingly zealous in our faith. With the sinners and those who practice unrighteousness, those who walk in pride and unbelief, judgment comes swiftly and without warning. But with those of us who have walked with the Lord for years, it comes in complacency and a complicit form of worship and adoration that becomes dim and boring. Satan will sneak up on us in stealth and surreptitious subtlety. Because of our unrepentant arrogance and vanity, we begin to take God's favor and protection for granted, making promises and breaking them in the same breath. Like a thankless bride, we think, "Oh, I have this thing on lock. I may be tired of praying, but that is okay. I may not feel like worshiping, but I have done enough in the past. I can pull from my stores. I don't need to read and study the word of the Lord because God is with me." Satan deceives and kills us slowly as he steals our salvation, because we begin to buy into the foolish narrative of once saved, always saved. Distractions are pulling us away from reality. We are not laying aside the weights that so easily beset us, while putting on greater encumbrances, bulky onuses, and unnecessary pressure and bondages. Cleave, or to cleave unto, derives from the Hebrew word dabak, meaning to adhere, stick, or to hold fast. And devakut is the spiritual union or communion with God, signifying glue-like devotion and a permanent bond. Let us meditate on this as we enter into the 33rd chapter of the book of Deuteronomy that focuses on the importance of the blessings of the righteous that are held in a covenantal standard by God. Remember that the curses of the Lord outweigh the blessings when the wicked forsake Him. And and know that these blessings originate from the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And it came to pass that when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim, so that he could not see, he called Esau his eldest son and said unto him, My son. And he said unto him, Behold, here am I. And he said, Behold now, I am old. I know not the day of my death. Now therefore take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver and thy bow, and go out to the field, and take me some venison, and make me savory meat such as I love, and bring it to me, that I may eat it, that my soul may bless thee before I die. Genesis chapter 27, verses 1 to 4 of the King James Version. Rebekah knew the importance of the blessing and that it was the Lord who would fulfill it. And Rebekah spake unto Jacob her son, saying, Behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau thy brother, saying, Bring me venison and make me savory meat that I may eat and bless thee before the Lord before my death. Genesis chapter 27, verses 6 to 7 of the King James Version. These blessings are uniquely allocated to either a certain person or persons, tribes, lands, and anything that the Lord seeks to bless and call good. Then Isaac gave Jacob a profound blessing. And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment and blessed him and said, See, the smell of my son is as the smell of the field which the Lord has blessed. Therefore God give thee of the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth, and plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee, and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be everyone that curseth thee, and blessed be he that blesseth thee. Genesis chapter 27, verses 27 to 29 of the King James Version. Signifying that the Lord promised agricultural abundance and wealth in an arid land, with the dominion mandate or mandate over peoples and nations. He would be the head and set apart, having divine protection and an irrevocable blessing. It is important to know that a blessing can only be revoked by God Himself. That is why Jacob told Esau that even in his deceit, the blessing would remain on Jacob. But as men, we can squander and transfer our blessings to others. This is why Rebekah was meticulous in wanting Jacob to be with a virtuous woman, in helping him to steal the blessing from Esau. It is why Esau was angry enough to vow to murder his brother, because they all knew the importance of a blessing. The Lord took this opportunity to assign the blessing of Abraham to Jacob through Isaac, to rekindle the promise that he gave to Abraham. The blessing was latent after Abraham's death, remaining dormant and idle in Isaac. God's blessings are not meant to be stagnant, but a continuous cycle, replicating exponentially. Let's go back to Abraham first, and then we will come back to how the Lord reestablished the blessing through Isaac. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, "I am God Almighty. Walk habitually before me with integrity, knowing that you are always in my presence, and be blameless and complete in obedience to me. I will establish my covenant, everlasting promise between me and you, and I will multiply you exceedingly through your descendants." Then Abram fell on his face in worship, and God spoke with him, saying, "As for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and as a result, you shall be the father of many nations." Abraham would be reminded of this when he went into intercession on behalf of Ishmael, even as God had chosen Isaac. No longer shall your name be Abram, exalted father, but your name shall be Abraham, father of a multitude. For I will make you the father of many nations. Genesis chapter 17, verses 1 through 6 of the Amplified Version. Can I stop right here for a minute? Every true human being that was created by God has a spirit given to him by God. But for many, it remains inactive, motionless, or even sluggish. And it is where we make the grave mistake of sitting idly by as we wait for God to do everything for us, as the Israelites did in the wilderness, complaining and wallowing in self-pity, as we wonder why things are not moving for us. Because faith, or the lack thereof, without works, is dead. Faith must be active, but to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit. The spiritual illumination and the enabling of the Holy Spirit for the common good. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 of the Amplified Version. And Isaac called Jacob and blessed him, and charged him, and said unto him, "Thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. Arise, go to Paddan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, thy mother's father, and take thee a wife from thence of the daughters of Laban, thy mother's brother. And God Almighty bless thee, and make thee fruitful and multiply thee, that thou mayest be a multitude of people, and give thee the blessing of Abraham to thee and to thy seed with thee, that thou mayest inherit the land wherein thou art a stranger, which God gave unto Abraham." Genesis chapter 28, verses 1 to 4 of the King James Version. Because Satan is shrewd and deceitful, we must understand that as a spirit, he doesn't get tired, hungry, nor has any need to sleep. He goes forth as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Read chapter 14 in the book of Exodus for context, knowing that this is what faith looks like. Even as God admonished the Israelites, The Lord said to Moses, "Why do you cry to me? Tell the sons of Israel to move forward toward the sea." Exodus chapter 14, verse 15 of the Amplified Version. The race will not go to the swift, but to he who endures, trusting the Lord and moving by faith into the unknown. Many scriptures prove that faith and action are married to one another, and I will give just a few to confirm this. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he have faith and have not works? Can faith save him? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. But someone may say, "You claim to have faith, and I have good works. Show me your alleged faith without the works, if you can, and I will show you my faith by my works, that is, by what I do. Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." James chapter 2, verses 14, 17, 18, 22, and 26. And again, meditate in the book of Hebrews chapter 11 as I focus on verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Let me show you the diligence of Jacob, because at this time he had to have been in excruciating pain. While he was left alone to contend with God, but he refused to give up and let go. He walked with a limp and his staff until he died. It could have cost him his life, but he was spared, and his injury was a reminder of God's mercy. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, "I will not let thee go except thou bless me." And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. Genesis chapter 32, verses 24 to 26 and 30 of the King James Version. So as we go through the blessings of the tribes in chapter 33 of the book of Deuteronomy, we will lay them side by side with the blessings over the individual sons of Jacob. In the 49th chapter of the book of Genesis, the fathers of the tribes of Israel, I feel it is important to point out that Joseph was blessed twice and separately with his sons Ephraim and Manasseh, his firstborn. Then Jacob, Israel, blessed Joseph and said, "The God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked in faithful obedience, the God who has been my shepherd, leading and caring for me all my life to this day, the angel that is the Lord himself, who has redeemed me continually from all evil. Bless the boys, and may my name live on in them. May they be worthy of having their names linked with mine, and the names of my fathers, Abraham and Isaac. And may they grow into a great multitude in the midst of the earth. Genesis chapter 48, verses 15 to 16 of the Amplified Version. He was indirectly blessed as Israel blessed his sons. And the second time, Joseph is a fruitful bough or vine, even a fruitful bough by a well whose branches run over the wall. Genesis chapter 49, verse 22 of the King James Version. Representing prosperity, vitality, and abundant blessings. Joseph's success relied entirely on God's sustaining grace and provision, with unstoppable growth and influence. His blessings were so bountiful that they ultimately blessed his family, Egypt, and all the surrounding nations. Study the remaining verses 23 to 26 outlining his blessings, how he overcame opposition, strengthened by the Almighty with no limits to the blessings allocated to him. Blessings that were enduring. He was set apart and honored. His crown of glory is even mentioned. Then Moses blessed Joseph's descendants again with Ephraim and Manasseh. And of Joseph he said, "Blessed of the Lord be his land, for the precious things of heaven, for the dew, and for the deep that coucheth beneath, and for the precious fruits brought forth by the sun, and for the precious things put forth by the moon, and for the chief things of the ancient mountains, and for the precious things of the lasting hills, and for the precious things of the earth and fullness thereof, and for the goodwill of him that dwelt in the bush. Let the blessing come from the head of Joseph and upon the top of the head of him that was separated from his brethren. His glory is like the firstling of his bullock, and his horns are like the horns of unicorns. With them he shall push the people together to the ends of the earth, and they are the 10,000s of Ephraim, and they are the thousands of Manasseh." Deuteronomy chapter 33, verses 13 to 17 of the King James Version. Notice that Moses did not attempt to restore the blessing to the firstborn. It was the firstborns that were stricken among the Egyptians, and anyone who did not follow the commands set forth in preparing for the Passover. This can be considered a generational and bloodline curse for the Israelites, as seen throughout God's word, beginning with Cain and Abel, Aaron and Moses, Jacob and Esau, Rachel and Leah, and so on. But the heavenly dew and the deep springs represent a lack of scarcity and unwavering divine provision in an arid land. Blessed with the choicest things of heaven and from the water beneath the earth, spanning the depths of heaven and earth. The sun and the moon have a semblance of the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night, signifying God's omnipresence. The ancient mountains are the fertile terrain that is usually barren. And it is God who revealed himself in the burning bush. The firstborn bull represents dominant strength, prime status, and majesty. The horn is a metaphor for invincible might, fortification, and triumph. And the goring of the peoples is the ability to push back against their enemies while expanding their borders. Then Jacob called for his sons and said, "Assemble yourselves around me that I may tell you what will happen to you and your descendants in the days to come. Gather together and hear, O sons of Jacob, and listen to Israel, Jacob, your father. Reuben, you are my firstborn, my might, the beginning of my strength and vigor, preeminent in dignity and preeminent in power. That should have been your birthright. But unstable and reckless and boiling over like water in sinful lust, you shall not excel or have the preeminence of the firstborn. Because you went up to your father's bed with Bilhah, you defiled it. He went up to my couch." Genesis chapter 49, verses 1 through 4 of the Amplified Version. This led to a generational curse that affected David when his son Absalom disrespected him more egregiously in that he did it in the open, in front of the entire city. But there is another curse that remained active. Just as Jacob stole the blessing from Esau, when he blessed his grandsons, he deposed Manasseh from his birthright as the older son and bestowed it upon Ephraim, or Ephraim. Please understand that blessings and generational and bloodline curses can transcend lineages. And even after curses are broken through prayer and repentance and by the grace of God, they can be reactivated through sin and separation from God. Just as blessings are to be passed on from generation to generation, or they can be made inactive. And this is the blessing wherewith Moses, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel before his death. And he said, "The Lord came from Sinai, where God first revealed himself to Moses, and rose up from Seir unto them, in what was supposed to be an 11-day journey in all its exploits. He shined forth from Mount Paran, and he came with 10,000s of saints. From his right hand went a fiery law for them, his covenant. Yea, he loved the people. All his saints are in thy hand. And they sat down at thy feet. Every one shall receive of thy words. Moses commanded us a law, even the inheritance of the congregation of Jacob." God's law is our birthright and patrimony. It is our legacy, a precious possession. And he was king in Jeshurun when the heads of the people and the tribes of Israel were gathered together. "Let Reuben live and not die, and let not his men be few." Deuteronomy chapter 33, verses 1 to 6 of the King James Version. Simeon and Levi are brothers, equally headstrong, deceitful, vindictive, and cruel. Their swords are weapons of violence and revenge. O my soul, do not come into their secret counsel. Let not my glory, honor, be united with their assembly, for I knew nothing of the plot. Because in their anger, they killed men and honored man, Shechem, and the Shechemites. And in their self-will, they lamed oxen. Cursed be their anger, for it was fierce, and their wrath, for it was cruel. I will divide and disperse them in Jacob, and scatter them in the midst of the land of Israel. Genesis chapter 49, verses 5 to 7 of the Amplified Version. As I was studying, I did not find the tribe of Simeon mentioned in the blessings in Deuteronomy. This will solidify the power of the curse. In the 25th chapter of the book of Numbers, the population of the Simeonites declined sharply when God struck them with a plague because of their whoredom that was committed against the Lord. When they intermarried with the Moabite and Midianite women while worshiping Baal Peor, even as Zimri the Simeonite and Cozbi the Midianitish woman was bold enough to commit a sexual act in front of all of Israel in an act of rebellion as they were being judged, the plague was stayed when they were thrust through. So the remainder was absorbed into the tribe of Judah. And God's judgment through the divine prophecy of Jacob had been fulfilled. Of Levi, he said, "Your Thummim and your Urim belong to your godly man Aaron, whom you tested and proved at Massah, with whom you contended at the waters of Meribah, who said of his father and mother, 'I did not consider them,' nor did he acknowledge his brothers, nor did he regard his own sons. For the priests observed your word and kept your covenant. The priests shall teach your ordinances, judgments to Jacob, and your law to Israel. They shall put incense before you and hold burnt offerings on your altar. O Lord, bless Levi's substance, ability, and accept and take pleasure in the work of his hands. Crush and shatter the loins of those who rise up against him and of those who hate him, so that they do not rise again." Deuteronomy chapter 33, verses 8 to 11 of the Amplified Version. Moses transformed the curse of Levi, passing as a hex and supernatural affliction to Aaron, into a blessing unto a nation through God's mercy. Because not only did Aaron build the golden calf, but he built an altar unto the Lord, leading to heinous debauchery. His blatant disregard of the people led to the physical and spiritual death of many. Not only were greater than 3,000 men slain at the command of Moses, but the Lord also caused a plague that took more lives. It is not written that he repented of his actions. Many translations and commentaries gloss over the evil that Aaron did, and they still call Aaron a man of God. It is because Satan will always sell you a narrative that it is okay to live the way you want and do what you want and still be considered a man or woman of God. But that is a lie. I'm not saying that we should ever speak against God's anointed, but this is why God made the distinction that Moses and Aaron were separated in death. Moses also interceded on behalf of the tribe of Reuben so that they would not suffer the same fate. Read the entire 49th chapter in the book of Genesis, as I will only reference certain parts. As we continue, Judah, consider who you are. Consider your lineage. Think on this. It should be at the forefront of our minds continually in how we present ourselves to the public and to the living God first. As the direct descendants of the Davidic line and Jesus Christ himself. Compare the blessings from Genesis to Deuteronomy. The former stems from one man's brave sacrifice, representing the importance of family, with the latter emphasizing unity as a nation. We were to be given military strength to defeat our enemies, and that God will hear our cries even now, bringing us safely to our land and peoples as judgment is being fulfilled. Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, thou art gone up. He stooped down, he couched as a lion and as an old lion. Who shall rouse him up? The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come. And unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Genesis chapter 49, verses 8 through 10 of the King James Version. And this is the blessing of Judah. And he said, hear, Lord, the voice of Judah, and bring him unto his people. Let his hands be sufficient for him, and be thou an help to him from his enemies. Deuteronomy 33 and 7 of the King James Version. Judah's preeminence and royal line are established. Judah was to have victory and dominance in warfare, growing and maturing from a young lion with prowess and might, resilience and valor, nobility and unassailable authority, along with the right to rule and govern God's people. Even now, Judah endures the worst part of situations and is on the front line of suffering. A tribe of established leaders, but their ultimate favor, defense, and protection are of God. Recently, I watched a video from Celestial where she prayed for mercy from the Lord for the tribe of Judah. God shows his prophets things that are afar off. Benjamin shall raven as a wolf. In the morning he shall devour the prey, and at night he shall divide the spoil. Genesis chapter 49, verse 27 of the King James Version. And of Benjamin he, Moses, said, the beloved of the Lord shall dwell in safety by him, and the Lord shall cover him all the day long, and he shall dwell between his shoulders. Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 12 of the King James Version. Upon research, Benjamin is described as a fierce, aggressive, and a powerful people. Relentless warriors and left-handed slingers, with references to King Saul and the Apostle Paul, noting how he devoured the early church like a wolf before his conversion, and his diligence and steadfast defending, preaching, and spreading the gospel while enduring imprisonment, stoning, lashings, hunger, thirst, exposure, and more. But Paul was not only chosen, he was warned. But the Lord said to him, "Go, for this man is a deliberately chosen instrument of mine, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the sons of Israel. For I will make clear to him how much he must suffer and endure for my name's sake." Acts chapter 9, verses 15 to 16 of the Amplified Version. Jacob's blessing. Zebulun shall dwell at the haven of the seas, and he shall be for an haven of ships, and his borders shall be unto Zidon, or Zidon. Issachar is a strong ass couching down between two burdens, and he saw that rest was good, and the land that it was pleasant, and bowed his shoulder to bear and became a servant unto tribute. Genesis chapter 49, verses 13 to 14 of the King James Version. And Moses' blessing. And of Zebulun he said, "Rejoice, Zebulun, in thy going out, and Issachar in thy tents. They shall call the people unto the mountain. There they shall offer sacrifices of righteousness, for they shall suck of the abundance of the sea and of treasures hid in the sand." Deuteronomy chapter 33, verses 18 to 19 of the King James Version. Zebulun's prophecy remained unchanged. Because of their lucrative positioning on the seashore, they were set to be very prosperous through international commerce and maritime trade. They were encouraged to venture out and enjoy their wealth. Issachar was strong. The donkey symbolized strength, endurance, and patience. They were to settle in a highly fertile and beautiful land, becoming so complacent that they would avoid fighting for independence, bartering for comfort instead, willing to submit to forced labor. Even though both would remain faithful to God with their sacrifices and offerings. Think on this, the cadence of Issachar. Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, "Let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians, for it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness." Exodus chapter 14, verse 12 of the King James Version. It was God's expectation and commandment that Israel purge the lands surrounding them of his enemies. Dan shall judge his people as one of the tribes of Israel. Dan shall be a serpent by the way, an adder in the path that biteth the horse heels so that the rider shall fall backward. In the midst of the prophecy, Moses stops to praise God, to acknowledge his ultimate reliance on him. "I have waited for thy salvation, O Lord." Gad, a troop shall overcome him, but he shall overcome at the last. Genesis 49, verses 16 to 19 of the King James Version. And of Gad he said, Blessed be he that enlargeth Gad. He dwelleth as a lion, and teareth the arm with the crown of the head. And he provided the first part for himself, because there in a portion of the lawgiver was he seated. And he came with the heads of the people. He executed the justice of the Lord, and his judgments with Israel. And of Dan he said, Dan is a lion's whelp. He shall leap from Bashan. Deuteronomy chapter 33, verses 20 to 22 of the King James Version. Upon researching, the metaphor of the serpent is used to describe Dan as cunning with the element of surprise. Tacticians and strategists, striking the horse's heels show how a seemingly smaller and disadvantaged group can destabilize a much larger, more formidable enemy. And even as Gad was continually raided, they would ultimately defeat their marauders. The lion's whelp is used to describe Dan's vitality, agility, and ferocity. The literature confirming that Samson was a Danite, and Gad would conquer their antagonists. Jacob's prophecy. Out of Asher his bread shall be fat, and he shall yield royal dainties. Naphtali is a hind let loose. He giveth goodly words. Genesis chapter 49, verses 20 to 21 of the King James Version. Moses' prophecy. And of Naphtali he said, O Naphtali, satisfied with favor, and full with the blessing of the Lord. Possess thou the west and the south. And of Asher he said, Let Asher be blessed with children. Let him be acceptable to his brethren. And let him dip his foot in oil. Thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be. Deuteronomy chapter 33, verses 23 to 25 of the King James Version. Asher's is a prophecy of affluence, opulence, and wealth. They would provide delicacies to surrounding kingdoms, including Israel, and they would be provided with a daily provision of strength. The sandals representing endurance, protection, and stability. A doe is used to describe Naphtali, representing speed and velocity, grace and eloquence, and a fierce love of freedom. Overwhelmed with the favor of God and the overflow of blessings. I want you to notice that it doesn't take much speaking to deliver a prophecy that will alter lives for generations. Some were short and to the point, but all were effective and spanning generations. God determines what is spoken, even if they stood up from sun up to sun down. For it is God that speaks through his prophets. This is evidenced by the varied lengths of his glorious word. From the shortest, the books of Obadiah, 2 John, and 3 John, to the longest, the books of Psalms and Jeremiah. These are either or either by verse or word count. If this doesn't convince you of the reality of spiritual warfare, and that the spiritual realm, even though abstract and invisible for times being, is the tangible reality, then I don't know what will. As it is done in the heavens, it will be done on earth. And God sent the sons and the tribes out two by two, just as the disciples were sent out two by two. Know who you are in God. There is none like the God of Jeshurun, Israel, who rides the heavens to your help, and through the skies in his majestic glory. The eternal God is your refuge and dwelling place, and underneath are the everlasting arms. He drove out the enemy from before you and said, "Destroy." So Israel dwells in safety and security, the foundation of Jacob alone and secluded, in the land of grain and new wine. His heavens also drop down dew. Happy and blessed are you, O Israel. Who is like you, a people saved by the Lord, the shield of your help and the sword of your majesty? Your enemies will cringe, are liars before you, and you will tread on their high places, trampling down their idolatrous altars. Deuteronomy chapter 33, verses 26 to 29 of the Amplified Version. Always coming from a place of love and in truth. And again, I humbly offer you some additional resources as the Lord is bringing them to me. As this prophet has described, given to her from God, so that you may prepare for what is to come. The end times are upon us, and because of my love for the Lord and my family and for you, and the great sorrow that I feel as I see those around me walking in oblivious darkness and untruths, I feel compelled to provide Celestial's teachings to you. The links are not referenced on the vlogs, but are available on the blog/podcast pages of my site at benevolentwoman.com. For revelation of true end times prophecy, please visit Celestial's site, the Master's Voice Prophecy blog. Also, if you desire a deeper revelation of who you are as a people, visit School of the Hebrews with Pastor Omar Thibault, a man of God. And when you need help with praying effectively and with fire, as it is written, the fervent, effectual prayers of a righteous man availeth much. Visit Saturday Recharge with Sister J or J for Jesus. God is calling his people. Thank you again. Thank you.